Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the day, for the opportunity and the privilege of being together this morning. Lord, we pray for several who aren't here today. We ask you, Lord, to be with them, give them traveling grace, keep everyone well and safe. And Lord, I pray now that you will help us to get our hearts and minds focused on you and your word. And Lord, that you will speak to us this morning and you will be very real, personal to every person that's here and to those that may be watching this morning. Lord, I commit myself. I commit the reading and the proclamation of your word to you this morning. Lord, help me. Anoint me. Give me freedom to preach your word. And give everyone here ears to hear and hearts to receive. May the lost be saved. May the saved be encouraged and challenged today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In previous messages leading up to Christmas, we've been reminded that Jesus Christ came to this world as mankind's Savior and to reveal the Father. Today, I want us to see yet another reason why Christ came to this world, and that is to give life. Jesus Christ came to this world to give mankind life. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we find the discourse of the Good Shepherd. And in this passage, Jesus' teaching is grounded in the practice of shepherding, which was common at that particular time. And in verses 1 through 5, we find the declaration of the parable. So let's read the parable, verses 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and these are the words of Jesus, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And so here we find the declaration of the parable that Jesus gave of the good shepherd. Now, in verses 7 through 18, we find the interpretation of that parable. Now, let's read the interpretation. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, I want you to notice in the interpretation of this parable, in verses 7 through 14, Jesus uses two metaphors to describe himself. He uses the metaphor of the door in verses 7 and 9, and he uses the metaphor of the good shepherd in verses 11 and 14. Now, by calling himself the door into the sheepfold, Jesus clearly identified himself as the entrance into the sheepfold, or if you please, the entrance into God's family or God's kingdom. You see, there is no other door, no other entrance, no other way, no other person, no other thing that will get anyone into the family and the kingdom of God or into heaven other than Jesus Christ. He is the door, He is the way, He's the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Him. So you go on and he says, unlike the thief and the false shepherd that he talks about and refers to in this text, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus is the good shepherd who gives life. Look, if you would please, back over in verse 10. Let's read that verse. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So this morning, as we think about this whole idea of how Christ came to give life, I want us to consider four things this morning. First of all, I want us to consider what kind of life does Jesus give? Now, I want you to get these things down because they're important. What kind of life does Jesus Christ give? First of all, Jesus Christ gives spiritual life. Listen to me carefully. Jesus gives spiritual life. Now, spiritual life is another dimension of the human experience. When we think of spiritual life, we know that spiritual life transcends physical life. It is something totally different. We all have a physical body and we have physical life here today, but not everyone here. There's probably someone here this morning that does not possess spiritual life. Because you see, Jesus is the only one that can impart spiritual life. And the only way that anyone can receive spiritual life is through Him. You can't find it any other place. There's no other person that has it. Jesus Christ is the one that gives spiritual life. And when we think of spiritual life, what are we talking about? Well, spiritual life relates to and affects the human spirit and soul. You see, when we think about the human soul, the soul is the seat of personality, which concerns man's will, intellect, and emotions. Now the soul, the spirit is that part of us which communicates with God. The spirit of us communicates with God, and God communicates with our spirit. But you see, this is so vitally important, and here's why. It is because everyone that is born into this world is born into sin, and because of sin, everyone is spiritually dead. Did you hear that? Every person is spiritually dead apart from having been made spiritually alive through Jesus Christ. Let me give you some scriptural evidence of this in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen in what Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, and he's reminding them of who they were and what they were, how they were prior to their salvation. And he says to them, beginning in verse 1, and you, he says to those believers, hath he, God, quickened. That word quickened in the original means to be made alive. Paul says, God has made you alive who were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. And so you see, every person needs this life that Jesus offers, because apart from receiving the life that Jesus offers, one is spiritually dead. Now that means simply that one is dead to God. One is dead to the things of God. A person who is spiritually dead does not know God, does not have a relationship with God. One that is spiritually dead does not understand the things of God. That's why when people who are lost and unsaved, unless the Holy Spirit enlightens them and illumines their mind, they can't understand the reading of the Scripture. When they read the Bible, they can't understand it. Matter of fact, most of it, according to the Bible, is foolishness unto them. It is because they're spiritually dead. And so one must be made spiritually alive, and the only way one can do that is through Jesus Christ. Because you see, everyone is born into this world as a sinner, and sin separates a person from God. And that part of man that has to become, listen, that has to receive life from God, that part of man is dead until they receive life through Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:14, listen to what Paul said. Paul said there, but the natural man is the person who is without Christ, who's never been saved. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And that word is the Greek word ginosko, and it means to perceive or understand. He says, they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, perceive them, or understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, spiritual things can only be understood by a person who has a spiritual mind and has a live spirit inside of them, who is the Spirit of the living God, who has quickened their spirit and made them alive through the new birth experience. And so one receives this new life, this spiritual life, the moment that one receives Christ as Lord and Savior. So the life that Jesus Christ came to give, first of all, is spiritual life. Secondly, this life that Jesus came to give is a transformative life. It is a transformative life. You say, what do you mean? I mean, this life is so powerful and it impacts a person in such a powerful way that it transforms a person. One is brought out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light. One is brought out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And one is given new life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing that can bring a marked change in a person's life, because God changes one from within, which changes one's attitude, one's thinking, one's words, one's walk, one's works. Everything changes. That's why Paul said, that great man of God who at one time was a great persecutor of the church, was saved and born again. Read it in Acts chapter 9. And Paul was radically changed, and that's why he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I don't know of a better picture, I don't know of a better scripture in all the Bible that is given to us regarding this particular thing than Ezekiel chapter 36. And I want to read these verses to you, Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. I'll begin reading in verse 24, but this is yet future for the nation of Israel. What I'm about to read to you is yet future for Israel. But Israel had disobeyed God, had rebelled against Him over and over and over again. The heathen nations were making fun of them, and God gave them a promise. He said, I'm going to regather you and bring you back to your own land, the nation of Israel. He says in verse 24 of Ezekiel 36, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. We're seeing that happen right now. In Israel. That's been happening over the last few years. The Hebrew people are coming back to their homeland. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now listen at verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And so I want you to understand that when God does this awesome work and gives one this spiritual life and this transformative life, they are transformed, they are changed, because God puts His Spirit inside of them. The living God is living on the inside of a person who receives Christ as Lord and Savior, and He imparts that life. And so that the life that Jesus Christ came to give, number one, is spiritual life. Number two, it is transformative life. But number three, it is an abundant life. Look at what He says in the text. In verse 10, He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, that word abundantly there in the original means in the sense of beyond anything that you and I know. It is preeminent. It is superior. It is supremely superior to any life that anyone can live on this earth. That's the kind of life Jesus Christ came to give, an abundant life. He said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. A superior, supreme life that rises above any other kind of life that man has ever known. That's the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to give. Next, number four, Jesus gives a peaceful life. A life of peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now listen, when a person is born again, when they receive Christ and they receive the Spirit of God, you know what happens? The Bible says that peace is made with God. One makes peace with God. In other words, the enmity that existed in that person's heart and mind toward God, it's over. There's no longer any enmity. God and man joined together, hand in hand. We become the friends of God. We become the sons and the daughters of God when we enter into that all-important eternal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And so that relationship gives us that peace. We have peace with God. And then guess what? The Bible says in the book of Philippians that we can also enjoy the peace of God. One makes peace with God at the moment of salvation. But then God gives us His peace, the peace of God that passes all human understanding as we walk through life, as we encounter difficulties and hardships and adversity in our life. God gives us His peace to support us, to encourage us, to sustain us through those troublesome times. And then finally, the life that Jesus Christ came to give is eternal life. Listen to the scriptures, John 3, 15 through 16. Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10, 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so the life that Jesus Christ gives is eternal. It is perpetual. It is never-ending, spiritual, wonderful, awesome life that we will live forever and ever and ever in a place called heaven that Jesus Christ said He was going to prepare for all of those that know Him and love Him. And so that's the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to give. Now, secondly, I want us to consider, how is this life possible? How is it possible? Well, look at the scripture in verse 11 of our text. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You want to know how to have this life? You want to know what makes this life possible? It is possible because Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, was willing to voluntarily and willingly lay down His life on the cross for you and for me. His substitutionary death, His sacrificial death on Calvary, paid the price and opened the door for us to have a relationship with God the Father and receive this spiritual, eternal, abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give. Jesus is the good shepherd. He loves the sheep. His love is so great that He was willing, He was able, and voluntarily laid down His life for the sheep. In John 10, 17 and 18, He says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment have I received of my Father. I want you to notice how many times that is mentioned, five times in our text this morning. Five times how He laid down His life for the sheep, which is for men. For people like you and me, for us, Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Paul wrote in Galatians 1, 1 through 4, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. 1 Peter 3, 18, for Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Thank God Jesus not only died for us, but He resurrected from the dead for us. You know, He's no longer in the grave. Jesus is our living Savior. And we celebrate that at Easter every year. And so Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily laid down His life. He said, no man can do this. I did it myself. I lay down my life. And I have power to take it again. And certainly He did. He resurrected from the dead. And so Jesus Christ made this new life possible. Thirdly, is life through Christ available to all? Absolutely. I know this is a very simple foundational message here, but that's okay. Not everybody's on the same level. We don't know who's watching. So I just want to ask, is life in Christ available to everyone? Absolutely. John 3:14-17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Again, John 3:16 says that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, 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 whosoever. It means you. It means me. It means anyone and everyone that will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved if they do it from their heart and they truly understand their lostness and their need of salvation. Yes, it's available. A resounding yes, it's available to all. You say, well, how does one obtain this life through Christ? Number one, after one hears the gospel, one must believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. Believe. And that means more than giving mental assent to Scripture. That means more than giving mental assent to the fact that Jesus is real. I believe in Jesus. You ask, if you go out in this community or you go anywhere in this county and you just ask randomly, you just ask me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is a real person? They'll say, oh yeah. Yeah, I believe Jesus is real. I believe God is real. You believe there's a true God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. There's a difference between believing in God and believing in someone than believing on someone. Listen to this. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, logos, the word of God, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, when you believe in someone, you believe that someone exists. But when you believe on someone, that person becomes the foundation upon which you are believing. He is the one you're believing on. He is the foundation. You are placing every ounce of your trust and your faith on the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so one must believe. Secondly, one must repent. One must repent. To repent means to change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Mark 1:15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, I've thought about this quite often during my Christian life and as a pastor. And it's hard to distinguish between when a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believes on Him, not only that He exists, but they put their faith in Christ and on Christ and repentance. Because if one truly believes, they're going to change. And so that's sort of I've thought about this a lot. I think they're not synonymous, but I think one is going to come if the other one comes. If one believes, one's going to repent. If one truly believes, one will repent and turn from their sin because they no longer want to go down that road of sinfulness. They want to live for God. But you must repent. That simply means to turn from sin and turn to God. It's like you're walking down a road one direction and this is your old lifestyle, your old way of living, and you're so sick of it. When you come to know Christ, you're so sick of it. You know that's not of God, and you turn your back on that lifestyle, on all those things, and you start living for God. You keep your eyes, your focus, your heart, your mind, you keep it all on Him. One must repent. And finally, one must receive Christ. One must receive Christ. John 1, 10 through 13, He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. He, Christ, came into His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believe, repent, receive. Salvation is a gift. This eternal life, this spiritual life, this abundant life, this peaceful life, the life that Jesus Christ came to this world to give mankind, it's available to all. It's free for the taking, but one must receive it. If someone hands you a gift, if someone walks up to you and hands you a gift, and they say to you, "I love you and I want you to have this," will you reach out and take it? Will you reach out and receive it? Take it to yourself. That's what you must do with Jesus. You must reach out and receive Him into your heart and your life by faith, believing that He will do what He says He will do. And you can't base all of that on a feeling. You base it on the facts of Scripture, because God cannot lie. And when He says, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you'll receive Him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, and you look to Him as your Lord and your Savior, at that moment, you'll be changed, transformed. You'll receive spiritual life. Now, God desires every person to have the transforming and eternal life that is in Christ. Upon receiving Christ, one's life is changed forever. My life was changed. I'm so thankful. You know, little things, and once you're changed, once you have a relationship with the Lord, and you pray and you ask God to do something for you and He does it, it just thrills your soul when you know that no one else could have done that but Him. I got up this morning, I was rejoicing. I've been dealing, Friday and Saturday, I dealt with a kidney stone. Matter of fact, I called Joe. Joe, he's preaching somewhere this morning, and I forgot that. When I called him, he said, "You need to call Shane or somebody." So I called Shane. I said, "Shane, be on standby." I said, I think I'm having a kidney stone, because I didn't know if I'd be here this morning or not. And I just prayed. Kathy and I prayed last night. I said, "Lord, please, I want to preach tomorrow. You gave me this message, and I want to share it. And Lord, please be merciful to me. I don't want to have to go through all this suffering." I'd been hurting Friday, all day yesterday, and last night it got worse. I took some medication, went to bed last night. Must have been about 2 o'clock this morning. I got rid of that kidney stone. I got rid of that, and I have been rejoicing. I told Chris Carter this morning, I said, "Man, I'm on cloud nine." I said, "The Lord answered my prayer. I'm able to preach this morning." I'm telling you, it just, when you have a relationship with the Lord, that is the most precious and special thing that you can ever own, ever possess in your life. But in order to receive that, you have to believe. You have to receive. You have to turn from sin and turn to God. Do you have this life? Do you? Do you have this spiritual life? When you read the Bible, the words oftentimes just jump off the page to you. You can understand what God is saying. When you pray, you know you have a relationship with the Lord, and you find joy in prayer. You find joy in church. You find joy in fellowship with Christian people. Those things are real to you because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Do you have this life? If you don't, you can. It's for the receiving. If you'll be willing to turn from your sin and believe the Word of God and believe on Christ and receive Him into your life. Maybe you've never done that. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to invite you to come. We're going to have an invitation. That's when I step down front with Brother, our minister of music comes, Brother Pruitt, he comes, and we'll be singing a song. Everybody, we'll have everybody to stand. And if you need to come, you just come on down the aisle. I'll be here to greet you and help you and minister to you any way that I can. There may be numerous reasons why you'd want to come down this morning. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I don't know. But God knows and you know. And I trust Him that you will do what God lays on your heart to do today. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for allowing me to be here today. God, thank you so much for hearing and answering my prayer last night. Thank you, dear Lord. And I pray, Lord, please speak to hearts today. I pray you've already spoken. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning or anyone watching today that does not have this life that Jesus Christ came to give, that today they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and give their heart and life to Him and receive Him by faith into their heart and life and claim Him as their only Savior and Lord. In His name I pray. Amen.